For the beleaguered Ben to wait for a moment, she took her children aside. You kids can have lunch down here. 1 hour, she said. Two, Callie said. Three, Jabe added, gawking at the women. An hour and a half, Annalene said. She jabbed her finger against Jabe's sternum. You're on alert. We're not going to have another Mos Espa. If you leave Callie's sight for an instant or get near anything stronger than blue milk, she's going to call me. I'll be here in a flash, and you'll be in a world of hurt. She looked around at the crazed partiers. And don't either of you get engaged to, well, anyone. Callie laughed. Rolling his eyes, her brother nodded. Where will you be? He asked. Annalene looked back at Ben, standing out of earshot.
I have some questions that need answers, she said.
You kids have fun. Hat in hand, Orin walked down the steps from the branch office of the Argau Investment Trust. There wasn't any point in being dejected, as the official had said nothing he hadn't heard once a month for 3 years. Bankers annoyed Orin more than lawyers did. What to make of people who had so much money they were willing to drop piles of it on others across the galaxy just because they had an idea? Even a good idea, Orin thought. But at least the banker had confirmed what he wanted to know. He removed the holocam from his satchel and tossed it into the open back seat of the USV-5. Mullen was there, snoring. Orin looked around. He didn't know where Vika had flitted. Wake up, he said, slapping his sleeping son with his hat. By reflex, Mullen reached for his shoulder holster before recognizing his father.
Well?
It's going according to plan. Plan one, anyway. Orin scanned the buildings across from the bank until he found what he was looking for. Locating the cantina, he found Vika, too, emerging with three scruffy-looking human spacers, all of whom looked quite unable to fly despite the noon hour. Seeing her father, she made her goodbyes. She sure makes friends fast, Orin said, resigned.
That's because she always buys,
Mullen said, slipping into the front seat. Hands on his hips, Orin glared at Vika as she approached.
Do you ever listen?
I'm fine,
Vika said, knocking the hollow emitter out of the way and sliding into the back seat of the landspeeder. I'll be ready. She seemed sober enough, Orin thought. Well, he couldn't worry about rehabilitating his family now. There'd be a chance for that after. He strapped on his blaster and climbed into the passenger seat. The engine started, and the landspeeder moved back into the crowded streets of Mos Eisley. Set the windshield to opaque, he said. I don't want to run into Annie today.
Chapter 30.
Annalene found the cafe again easily. She and Danar had discovered it years earlier, just paces from the Twin Shadows Inn and up the street from the building from which the Twi'leks had emerged. Ben didn't resist when Annalene took him by the hand, leading him past the crowd and inside.
Thank you,
he said in the lobby, exhaling.
I owe you a life debt.
You sure hate crowds, she said, climbing the stairs to the upper level.
When Ithorians dance, it's best to get off the floor.
The master of the house greeted them warmly. Annalene had always enjoyed Café Tattoo, too, including it on her solo trips to the spaceport. The kindly old man led her to the awning-shaded balcony overlooking the plaza. Ben chose a chair at a table away from other diners. She sat across from Ben, ordered the lunch special for them both, and clasped her hands together, ready to study her subject. She had been waiting forever for another chance to talk to him alone. Now, she couldn't figure out which question to ask first, if Ben would let her. He shifted uncomfortably in his chair.
The clerk at the repair shop did say 5 hours, no?
5 hours, she said.
Take your hood off. You're in a civilized place now.
Ben complied.
I was worried when you didn't come back to the store, she said. It's been a long time. Ah, yes. I've been busy,
he said, raising his glass to drink. With?
Things.
Things, she said, unbelieving. It was amazing how the man could use something as small as a cup to hide behind. Seemingly sensing her frustration, he set the drink down and grinned.
You've seen the grounds of my palace. I'm still working through the junk that might be toxic.
Annalene nodded.
I was afraid we'd scared you off, with Callie snooping around, telling everyone your last name.
Most people have one, Ben said. Why shouldn't I? Annalene put her elbows on the table and leaned over toward him.
I was also worried that maybe Orin had scared you off,
she said in a quieter voice.
Oh, no.
Ben sat casually back in his chair, putting some distance between them. I like Orin, and he seems to like you. This week, Annalene said.
Usually that means you want something.
The land speed is a nice gesture. Perhaps he's in earnest. Annalene sat up straight, regarding him skeptically. Really? Ben shifted again, tracing his finger around the circumference of his glass.
You know, I don't know much about these things, but sometimes people's attitudes can change over the years. They can get closer.
He smiled at her, awkwardly. Uh-huh. Annalene reached for her glass and drank. Now she was the one hiding her expression. Inwardly, she was amused to no end. She didn't know if Ben was trying to palm her off on Orin or not, but he had just revealed some truth.